The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
One of the, I think, important topics in doing a Buddhist practice is understanding the purpose that you're doing it for. A sense of purpose, intention, a goal is very helpful, and it can also be a hindrance. But so anybody who practices have to kind of understand the nature of having a purpose and a goal and how to work with it and how when to engage in it in an active way and use it as a reference and when to drop it. In some schools of Buddhism, the goal is to be goalless. You know, so being goalless is set up as an ideal. And so then the practice is to try to find out how to be that way. And in the process of doing that, you might discover how many agendas you have for fixing, making something happen, acquiring, becoming a better self, whatever, all kinds of things that you want. And so then you see all that against the reference point of no goal. And so then you can slowly let go until you come to what feels like very content state of just being. So even the goal of being goalless is a kind of a goal. But the advantage of having a goal is that then we know what we're supposed to do, or it could be better, easier to know what to do. If you have a very amorphous idea that Buddhist practice is a good thing to do, that mindfulness is a good thing to do, then, you know, you could be mindful of many things which are not particularly useful to be mindful of, perhaps. And you can be mindful of your little toe. You can go around all day being mindful of your little toe, and that's nice, I suppose. But it's maybe not as useful as being mindful of your breathing, or mindful of your beliefs that are operating, or mindful of your clinging, or mindful of your resistance to things. Certain things are more useful to pay attention to other things. And how do you know what is useful? You know a little bit by the purpose that you're interested in. If you're interested in freedom from suffering, freedom from clinging, then it's useful to pay more useful to pay attention to your clinging than it is to pay attention to your little toe, perhaps. And so maybe it gives you a little guidance. Oh, pay attention to this. Or maybe what you need to understand is useful to pay attention to your belief systems, because your belief systems are almost subconsciously in the background fueling the clinging and the attachment that we have. And so maybe you need to, since what you're interested in is not clinging, rather than being mindful of the trees and being mindful of the ocean, mindful of nature, which is a beautiful thing to do, it's not so productive or as productive than looking directly at the beliefs, directly at the clinging you have. So if it's a vague kind of idea of being mindful, it can be valuable, but it might not be as beneficial as to have a certain goal that you have in mind, a certain purpose that you have in mind. And there's a lot of purposes you could have, a lot of wonderful things to be engaged in. Some of them are intermediate purposes. So for example, you might feel that you're not going about your daily life kind enough, and it would be useful to become a kinder person. And so then that's your goal. You have a goal. Let me see if I can kind of approach different people with more kindness. It's not my nature to do it that way, but let me see. What would it take to do it with some integrity? Maybe it just means that I slow down a little bit and take in the other person more fully. So I really register who they are, what's going on with them, and then maybe it's easier to approach them kindly if I really get a sense of who they are, rather than just coming from my ideas of what should be. And so it's possible to work on your kindness and develop it. And you don't have to be stuck with your native or your pre-existing level of kindness. You can cultivate and strengthen that capacity. And that can be kind of a purpose or goal that you set yourself for. You can cultivate greater concentration. You might find that your mind keeps getting caught up in its preoccupations, concerns, its worries very easily, and you have a sense you want to do something and your mind gets pulled away this way and that way and you can't really stay focused on anything. So a good sense of purpose would be to cultivate concentration. And since you know that's your purpose, then you can look at what supports concentration, what can I do that develops that in some way. Perhaps maybe this is not the time to focus on kindness. Maybe this is the time to focus on being still. Or maybe this is the time not to spend a lot of time on the computer or on television, on the radio and email and doing all these different things that tends to spin my mind out. If I want to develop concentration, maybe I need to kind of live a little more of a settled way or a focused way and not be jumping around doing all the things that I could do. So what I'm trying to say is if you have a sense of a purpose, that purpose casts light. It helps you make decisions about other things that you want to do, how to practice, what to focus on, to do those things that support that sense of purpose. If you don't have a sense of purpose, then you're much more adrift. And I think that sometimes the way that mindfulness practice is taught here in the West is not taught with enough sense of purpose. It's just as if mindfulness is all good, and that's all you have to do is be mindful, and everything else follows. Or if you take to heart in the wrong way what I said earlier today about how profound it can be to be attention to the nature of mindfulness itself, that there's some freedom and the timeless presence just in the qualities of attention itself, that kind of message can also turn a person away from a sense of purpose, because it's just about resting in this kind of luminous awareness as opposed to kind of having some place you're going and developing. So it's important to have some sense of understanding what you're doing and why you're doing it. And sometimes when you go see a teacher, one of the very interesting conversations with a teacher is to make clear, you know, this is what I'm doing. And, you know, this is why I'm doing it. This is why I'm doing the practice. This is my direction I'm going. This is what I'm trying to develop. This is what I'm working on right now. Because then you can have a very interesting conversation about that and in maybe some deeper way than you, deeper consideration of it. Sometimes the purpose or the goal is not very clear to people. Sometimes there's an intuitive sense of why they're doing it, and they can't articulate they have a particular purpose. And I think that's fine. I spent some years that way myself. Nothing was more important for me than to practice, but I didn't have any clear sense of why. Just intuitively I knew that this is what I was doing. Other times I had a very clear sense of purpose. This is what I was doing. I remember once I went to sit a three-month retreat at IMS. At the beginning of the retreat, Joseph Goldstein asked me, "Why are you here?" and I said, "To overcome my suffering." And at the moment, that was a kind of a very sincere answer. But after I left that conversation, I thought, "Oh, was that profound enough?" You know, just a simple thing like that. And I've since learned that that's a profound purpose. But, you know, I thought, oh, maybe I'm supposed to have something more lofty goal. And then it's important to know when to drop that sense of purpose. Or say it this way. It's possible to set a direction for the ship. And once the direction is set, you don't think about the direction anymore because it's set in that way. So for example, when you sit down to meditate, you might have a sense of purpose of why you're sitting there, why you're practicing, but then you don't want to think about that purpose anymore once you're there, because that just kind of keeps you a little bit too agitated and involved. And maybe you want to let go. Any thought about the purpose just gets in the way of being really present. So you have to know how to drop it as well. One of the dangers with a sense of purpose is that people can spend too much time trying to fix everything and tinker with everything and make things kind of, you know, there can be a lot of expectation around the purpose. You know, I have to. They can measure themselves. I'm not living up to the goal. I'm not doing well enough. I'm not going fast enough. There can be a lot of ego connected to it. You know, me, myself and mine, it's my goal. I'm not, you know, how are other people seeing me? I'm not living up to it. It's all about me around the goal, and that can get in the way. So there's certainly problems with a sense of goal. But having a goal or a sense of purpose or an intention, I think it also can be very enlivening and deepening, and can be a reference point that helps us understand much more of what's going on and what's useful. So, as I said earlier, some of the goals can be short-term goals, particular things. Some can be lifetime goals that we establish for ourselves. There can be a goal for a particular week. This week, let me be as mindful as I can when I'm driving. And then you explore that and see what that's like, and try to organize your driving so that you can really be mindful. Or it would be a week where they're mindful around food, valuable place to bring mindfulness to. And so you try to organize your week so that you have some more care and attention given to what happens when you're around food and you're eating. And that's where you cultivate and develop. It's just, you know, it's a small sense of purpose. Or there can be a lifetime purpose of trying to come from a place of compassion. Coming from a place of compassion, engaging the world in a compassionate way, as a high priority for you and how you want to organize and orient and what your life should be about. And so so then you set that, and then you start wondering, you start looking with that purpose, what supports that or what manifests that, what allows me to live that. There's many things I can do in this life, but if that's really important for me, how do I organize myself around that? Some of the senses of purpose we have, but part of the value of having an intention or a sense of purpose is that we'll have it anyway. There's often subconscious intentions that people have going on they don't see. But when you have it, when you articulate it for yourself and have an intention or a purpose or a goal, that gives you a chance to find out that maybe that goal wasn't worthwhile. Maybe it wasn't a good one after all. Or maybe you're holding it in the wrong way. And so sometimes the difficulties or the problems around having a goal are the very place where we learn and grow from. And some people are afraid of having a goal because they've gotten burned before. But rather than avoiding it, maybe go into it again and then try to understand, how did I hold it wrong? Or what was off before? Is there a different way of doing it this time? So to spend some time considering goals, and is there a goal or sense of purpose that you might have? Is there a time and place for goal? Is there a time and place for being goalless? Is there a time and place for reflecting and seeing, is there some subconscious sense of purpose and intention, something you're trying to accomplish and do that you haven't articulated to yourself, that maybe is useful, maybe it's not useful? It's a very interesting area to explore, and I'd encourage you to spend some time considering your relationship to goals and purposes and intention, and see where that leads you. So that was my purpose for this 15 minutes. I hope that was helpful.